Hi, this is Newt. I am currently staying at home in Rome. To bring you this episode this week, I'm recording from my home, so you may notice a difference in audio quality. On this episode of Newt's World, this is the third in a series of episodes we're presenting about China and COVID-19. What role did China play in the spread of COVID-19 globally? What responsibility should they bear for the devastation the virus has caused? In this episode, on April 21st, 2020, the state of Missouri filed suit against China in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Missouri, Southeastern Division. The state of Missouri versus the People's Republic of China, the Communist Party of China, is a groundbreaking case to hold China accountable. The complaint outlines four key factual allegations. They are: one, denying the risk of human-to-human transmission; two, silencing whistleblowers; three, failing to contain the outbreak; four, hoarding personal protective equipment. The lawsuit persuasively argues that the COVID-19 outbreak has caused hardship in Missouri and across the globe. Death, isolation from sick and dying loved ones, massive unemployment, economic dislocation, uncertainty, and trillions of dollars of economic losses. China should be held legally responsible. I'm pleased to welcome my guest, Eric Schmidt, Attorney General for the state of Missouri. I am delighted to have as my guest the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, who has, I think, shown great courage and also great leadership in being willing to file a lawsuit against the Chinese government. Eric, would you share with us what led you to decide to do this?
Well, I think what we've come to know, Newt, is that the Chinese government has engaged in far-reaching and sweeping campaign of deception and deceit and misrepresentations, malfeasance about the origin of this virus, its impact it could have on the world, and it's been unleashed. We have a global pandemic that none of us have really seen in our lifetimes, at least, and that has had a profound impact all across the globe, and no one's been spared. You have a profound loss of life, economic impact that's affected people's ability to put food on the table. In the United States alone, 30 million jobs lost in just 2 months, which is really unbelievable. And the fact is, this all could have been prevented if they would have been transparent and honest about it. In my state, the state of Missouri, is no exception to this. We have estimated up to $44 billion worth of economic loss, hundreds of lives lost, people being separated in unprecedented ways too that are affecting folks. I mean, not being able to visit loved ones in nursing homes, people dying alone, people not being able to attend funerals. We have a legislature that's been meeting this spring now trying to craft a budget for the next fiscal year, which begins on July 1st with revenues falling off of a cliff. And so the impact has been enormous. And I feel very strongly and have a moral conviction that as the state's chief legal officer, we need to hold the Chinese government accountable for these actions. And as we filed the 47th page complaint in federal court, the timeline is really important because there were critical weeks that were lost. People silenced, whistleblowers silenced, people have gone missing, evidence destroyed, in a campaign really to keep the world in the dark that starts really in mid to late November or early December. We document in our federal complaint that was filed that as soon as December 5th, there's an individual wife of someone who'd been infected who was not present at the wet market. So there's early evidence in December of human to human transmission that's really denied by Chinese authorities until well into January. January 21st, I think, is when it's finally acknowledged of the human-to-human transmission. And you've got weeks and weeks of the Chinese government keeping the world in the dark. Unfortunately, on December 30th, a doctor in China sounding the alarm about this and who was forced to recant in early January passed away. So then the question is, do we have a cognizable legal claim? And we believe we do. We feel very strongly about this. So for example, some of the criticism might be, well, you can't sue another sovereign nation, a foreign country. Well, that's not true. Under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, there are exceptions to that, and one of which that we identify and focus on, of course, is the commercial activity exception. And so that broad protection doesn't extend if you're engaged in commercial activity. And so we allege that the hoarding of PPE, China going from a net exporter to a net importer of PPE, all the while keeping the world in the dark, was a commercial activity. They run the hospital system, and they also run the virology lab there in Wuhan. And so those are objective commercial activity. And there's a case from the 1980s that Justice Scalia notes that when you have that kind of evidence of objective commercial activity where they're not just a regulator but actually engaged in the marketplace, that sets you outside of the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act protection. So we feel very strongly we're the first state to do it. I don't think we'll be the last. And ultimately, this is about placing the blame where it belongs, which is at the feet of the Chinese government, and holding them accountable. It's also worth noting, Newt, that another way that we deal with the sovereign immunity issue is we also name non-state actors, the Communist Party of China, principally, and that they don't get to avail themselves of those same protections. So again, we feel strongly about the merits of this claim, and we intend to move forward aggressively.
We did a podcast recently with the CEO of a Canadian firm called Blue Dot, which is a very sophisticated monitoring system for viruses. And as early as December 31st, they had posted a warning to their clients that something was going on in Wuhan that could potentially become an epidemic. At that point, they didn't say pandemic, but they could sense already something was going on. And I think there's a general agreement that the Chinese communist dictatorship been open with the world in the first week of January, we might actually have contained the virus. When you file a suit like this, first of all, did the court accept the suit?
Yeah, so it's been filed in federal court in the Eastern District of Missouri. The next step is to effectuate service, and then we'll see what their response is. And principally, you've got the Chinese government and the CCP, which is named too, because we believe they are directly responsible for the suffering and they are a non-state actor. It's not going to happen overnight. This will be a slog. But I think these questions are very important to have answered. You've got the denying of the risk of the human-to-human transmission. There's no question. And these are all published open record reports of what they knew. And you've got the failing to contain the virus in Wuhan. On January 1st alone, 175,000 people left Wuhan as people start to travel for the new year. And on January 16th, when this is mature enough of a problem in China, you've got the potluck in Wuhan, which officials allowed to move forward. And it's important to note, too, the Chinese people have been victimized by this regime in this regard, too. You've got 40,000 people congregating well over a month after they're aware of a lot of the real dangers here. And you're living and dealing with that in Europe. It was hit before the United States, but now that it's come to our shores, the impact has been dramatic, and you're starting to see states slowly sort of open up with health and safety guidelines, but the businesses, the families, the small businesses have been impacted. And I think it's important to note that it's no coincidence that China is the largest net exporter of PPE, and they become the largest net importer of PPE. And there are certainly allegations in our complaint about junk PPE being sent out to the world as China hoards the PPE and sort of continues to gobble up everything in their country that was being produced by industry as well. So it's pretty egregious, the actions as they're laid out. We claim in our complaint that there is a cognizable legal action that we can assert as a state to recover damages from China. And I think as legal observers look at this and further understand some of the exceptions we point out in the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act, the more people I think are starting to understand that this is a serious action.
Would you provide service to the ambassador in Washington or to the dictatorship in Beijing?
The Chinese government's official response to this was telling. I mean, they just dismiss it. I think they understand that the microscope of the world is now on them. I think the world is asking for answers here. So I think as we move forward and effectuate service and get into discovery, that will be a very important aspect of the lawsuit, understanding more fully their denial and their cover-up. And it has had global ramifications that, to whatever credibility they had or were trying to establish with the world, about openness and transparency, I think the world is beginning, if not already understood, the real dangers here with this regime.
The Chinese Communist Party runs the country. The government is actually just an arm of the Chinese Communist Party. And in that sense, you may be in a very unique position to sidestep much of the sovereignty argument by going straight at the party, because ultimately they would have been responsible for most of the decisions.
Well, I think that's right. And you look at the top-down approach. I mean, you've got local officials in January ordering folks in Wuhan to destroy evidence, people being censored for so-called rumor mongering, people going missing, journalists expelled. Then you have the Chinese National Organization in early January, January 3rd, issuing those same orders. And so whatever information could have been gleaned early on was destroyed. You've got CDC officials on January 6th denied entry into the country. And so if they were serious about notifying the world, and part of the duty in our complaint that we note is that under international standards, when you become aware of a public health emergency like this, you're expected to let the world know. And the World Health Organization unfortunately parroted a lot of China's downplaying of this until late January. But they had a responsibility to the world. If you're going to be a global power and something like this is about to be unleashed on the world, you have a responsibility to let people know, and that just didn't happen.
In your lawsuit, since you're filing as the Attorney General of Missouri, will you be asking only for damages for the people of Missouri, and would other attorney generals then have to file their own case for their particular state's damages?
That's right, because those damages, as we allege, are unique to each state. And so I have filed on behalf of the 6 million Missourians. I think there'll be others that follow suit, but each lawsuit would be based on the damages for their state. Now, ultimately, if we get to that point, I'm sure there's a lot of cooperation that can happen as relates to uncovering evidence. But as far as the complaint and the prayer for relief, as it's noted in the lawsuit, those are specific to Missouri.
How much would you like the Chinese communists to pay the people of Missouri?
We've estimated at this point upwards of $44 billion. When you look at the loss of life, the suffering, the economic damage, it's immense. In our complaint, we note that at this point, when we filed on April 21st, our estimate was up to $44 billion worth of damages for one state, Missouri, which is 6 million. Missouri's population-wise sort of right on the average. So you could extrapolate that out for a number of other states as well.
It's interesting because one of the leading newspapers in Germany has calculated that China owes Germany 149 billion euros, which would be about $155 billion. People around the world are beginning to accept the idea that something really wrong happened here and that they have to be held accountable.
I think that's right. I think it's an opportunity for people to wake up and understand how these kinds of issues are dealt with by this communist regime. And in America, we believe in openness and accountability. And I've taught a civics class at my alma mater. The idea of that class was to gain a greater appreciation for the American idea and who we are. We're a creedal nation, really the first of its kind. We're bound together by this belief that all life has dignity and that government is our shared project to protect our God-given rights. That is not the view of the CCP. That is not the view of the Chinese government. And I think the sooner we appreciate the differences, I think it matters in how we deal with China and also how we deal with our allies. I think a lot of the conversation so far has been related to trade, but there are much bigger and deeper conversations that I think we're going to have as a country and as Western democracies about the impact that this virus has had and why was it unleashed the way that it was. And I think, again, the blame falls squarely on a regime that prioritized secrecy and the cover-up over the health and welfare, not only of its own citizens, but the people of the world.
Somebody listening to the two of us wants to actually see the lawsuit. That's both available from the court, and is it also available from your office?
Yeah, ago.mo.gov is our website, and it's available through the court system, and it's a 47-page complaint. One of the things that we were proud of is that it is an assemblage of facts that I'm not sure were available in one place. Our folks took a lot of time to make sure that we laid out the factual basis and then the legal claims, and that's there for the world to see.
That in itself is a huge asset to have that document available. I know the House Republicans are now setting up a task force to look at China. I suspect the Senate will be doing the same. Both of them would do well to have your document, I think.
The other thing, too, is I think worth mentioning recently, I joined with 17 other attorneys general from across the country asking for a congressional investigation. In my view of this is all of the above. Missouri's got our lawsuit. We expect there to be more state-based lawsuits, a congressional investigation. I think it's all hands on deck. This is a historical pandemic. It's unprecedented, and so should our response be.
If, in fact, the communist dictatorship can cause the death of 300,000 or 400,000 or more people around the world, the destruction of tens of trillions of dollars of economic activity, and have no consequence, that would bode very badly for the future, I think. And teach the Chinese a really terrifying lesson that they could get away with almost anything.
Some people have asked me, what do you hope to accomplish with this? And it's justice. It's accountability. It's getting to the truth. And certainly our damages claim is real. As I said, you've got the emotional suffering of people in my state and across the globe who've been separated from loved ones and loved ones who've died, the loss of jobs. I mean, if you just put that in context, it's almost hard to fathom. 30 million jobs in 60 days, essentially, is unprecedented. And I agree with you. They need to be held accountable for this. And it's possible this is not going to be the last time a virus comes out of that part of the world. And so part of this too is, I think, demanding accountability and answers and making sure this doesn't happen again.
I think what you're doing in that sense is vitally important. As you went through this and you assembled this 47-page brief, did anything particularly leap out and surprise you?
Knowing what happened in late December and really through January 21st, when the world becomes really aware of what this thing really is, it's the knowledge of the human-to-human transmission and then the authoritative state mobilizing in full swing and medical professionals being told to be quiet. And we, of course, we know what that means in a state like that. Evidence being ordered to be destroyed. Citizen journalists gone missing. I mean, the extent of the cover-up. This could have been prevented. It really could have been prevented or contained to a large degree. It did not have to be this way. And I think the prioritization of whatever that face they were trying to save or the story they were trying to tell over human life, to me, is compelling. And why I say that felt I had a moral obligation to do this as the state's chief legal officer, the people in my state looked to me as their lawyer, their advocate. And when you see this kind of malfeasance and you see the impact it's had across the globe and people that I represent, I felt it was imperative to take action.
China is a country in which the party owns the government. The government doesn't own the party. And I always tell people that we'd be much better off if we introduced Xi Jinping as general secretary rather than as president, because his primary power base is as the general secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. His secondary power base is as the head of the military commission, because the People's Liberation Army is actually an arm of the Chinese Communist Party. And then finally, he has the job of being president. But of course, they're very smart, and they understand that we will be much more sympathetic to him as though he were normal if we called him president. I am certain none of these major decisions were made without him. That's a Leninist-style hierarchical tyranny. And in a totalitarian system, no big decision gets made below the top. And so all of the major things we have a grievance over had to have come in front of Xi Jinping.
I think that's right. And I think you look and see how the Hong Kong protesters were dealt with. I mean, these decisions are vertical. In this country, we believe in the separation of powers and the diffusion of interests and authority as a way to protect liberty. I mean, that's what our founders based this great experiment was, that people had the maximum amount of liberty through this system that was created of checks and balances and separation of powers and federalism and all these things. That does not exist in communist China, quite the opposite. And we're seeing how that can play out in a really negative way.
I think maybe for the first time, worldwide, people are looking at China with a different attitude right now, whether or not people like you are following the rule of law and living in an open society can actually impose sufficient consequence that the lesson inside China will be never again. They're just not going to do it. And I think that's really unbelievably important. What happens next to the lawsuit?
So we'll move forward with service. Again, that'll take some time. And then file whatever motions they're going to file or not file. We'll see what their response is. I don't want to make any predictions. I am hopeful and look forward to their answers to our allegations. I think that would be instructive. But I think there'll be probably some other states that pursue this course of action. My hope is that Congress begins an investigation and all of that momentum to hold China accountable for their bad actions. I think that is all leading to a point where hopefully we can get some answers. We're going to pursue it aggressively, and we'll certainly keep everybody informed as of the progress.
Is it your estimate that the life of this will be largely in U.S. courts?
We believe that we have jurisdiction. There's a couple really important aspects of the complaint. One is, as I mentioned, the laying out of the factual allegations in one document with a wide variety of sources, I think, is important for the public and for the lawsuit. But also the exceptions of the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act that we lay out, the fact that we've got the non-state actors in there, and the fact that the commercial activity that they were engaged in, that objectively is commercial activity, the lab and the PPE and the hospital system, I think those are really big, important issues for this case that I think will be important. And I know Congress is considering other exceptions. And again, I'm sort of all of the above approach here, but that'll be the focal point from a legal perspective.
Is it your estimation that other countries should engage in the same way that the German government, for example, should file suit in German court, et cetera? So the Chinese end up faced with a remarkable range of lawsuits around the world?
I think so. I do think a growing chorus calling for answers and accountability is for the benefit, not just for America and Missourians that I represent, but for the entire world.
Well, frankly, sitting here in Rome and looking at the damage that they've done to Italy, which has had its economy shattered, I think the Italians would have a pretty powerful case.
When you're dealing with large numbers in general. But as you sit there in Italy and look at the welder whose life has been destroyed, as I talk to people who work in factories in Missouri who have lost the ability to feed their families, and that is not to discount at all the tens of thousands of lives lost to all of this. I think it's just really important for us to keep that in perspective. And again, I think this is worthy, and it's important for us to have a big, broad discussion about where we're headed in dealing with China. But the human loss and human suffering, people just at a very human level, not being able to visit their grandmother or mother in a nursing home, all of this was avoidable. All of this was preventable. And that is at the heart of this lawsuit, is to hold them accountable for their actions or inactions.
If you were to end up being awarded the $40 billion, how would you divide that up? I mean, would part of it then go to families that had lost a loved one and part of it go to businesses that had suffered losses?
That's all on the table. Our allegations are, of course, that not just the state has been damaged, but individual citizens. When you take into account the $44 billion worth of damages, that includes people losing their livelihoods, loss of life, the real economic impact on a broad scale. But again, I feel very strongly about the merits of our legal claims that we've made here, and I think it's got a lot of attention for good reason. It's an important case.
That's great. Well, listen, we are going to keep track of you, and at some point in the future, we hope you'll come back and join us again and give us a progress report as this winds its way towards being, I think, a truly historic action on your part.
Wish you and your family all the best and hope you guys continue to stay safe.
Thank you to my guest, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. You can learn more about the case Missouri has filed against China on our show page at newsworld.com. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers, and our producer is Garnsey Slunk. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Penn. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. Please email me with your questions at gingrich360.com/questions. I'll answer them in future episodes. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. On the next episode of Newt's World, is California Dreamin' the new national anthem? The Pelosi-led Democrats' new $3 trillion bill has 68 references to cannabis and only 52 references to jobs. I'll talk about Nancy Pelosi's insane $3 trillion, 1,815-page bill on the next episode. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.